to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over some roster changes with the Blackhawks. Tomorrow is the opening of the first season of the Blackhawks season, and we're going to go over some NHL news. So before we get into it, do us a favor, give us a follow on Twitter, like us on Twitter, you know, or like us on Facebook, I should say, sorry, and subscribe to the podcast. So here we go, guys. Blackhawks, day before game one, big one against the Avalanche. They made some changes. Nylander made it down to Rockford. Before, they weren't sure what they could do with his exemption from waivers. It turns out that there are some players that are exempt from waivers this year because they're not counting last year, the COVID shortened season. So he made it down to waivers, which is great. We also sent four more players down to waivers: Nicholas Bowden, Jacob Galvis, Colin Delia, and Malcolm Subban. They absolutely cleared waivers. Reese Johnson. And we signed Erik Gustafsson. Yes, you heard that right. Erik Gustafsson. I thought that we heard the last from him a few years ago. He's back on the team. I don't know what Bowman is thinking. Maybe a power play two quarterback. But is he just going to sit on the bench just to run the second power play unit? You know, Pat Foley made an interesting statement on the last Blackhawks game that Ryan Hartman re-signed in Minnesota, was originally a right wing. Now he's playing center. He was 12 for 16 at the dot, and they said that he's playing so well at center, he deserved a new contract, which is pretty impressive. I don't know. Maybe they're thinking about moving Gustafsson to a wing or maybe center. Maybe he's a long-lost center that we've needed because he can't play the defensive aspect of the defensive position very well. So yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. I think that there's a lot of teams thinking outside the box these days with players, and I think that's a really, really good thing. I don't see really a fit here for Gustafsson other than them wanting Mitchell and Bowden to be the number one defensive pairing on the Ice Hogs so that they could just sit there, develop, and not have to worry about the NHL this year. That's one of the only things that I can think of for this signing. Other words, we've got Kalynuk and Caleb Jones, who would be playing right now, but they're both hurt. Kalynuk out 2 to 4 weeks. Caleb Jones out for 6 weeks. They're both having a great camp. And, you know, just luck of the draw, I guess. They are not, they're actually, you should probably say they're a little unlucky. This is the biggest camp of their lives, and they both got injured. Caleb Jones has actually surprised me a lot this preseason because I thought he was just sort of a trade chip to try and get Seth Jones. But it turns out that he's actually a talented hockey player in his own right. And I think that he's trying to come out of his brother's shadow and make a difference on the team. And I think that once he's healthy, he'll be able to do that. I thought he looked good. Same thing with Kalynuk, except he's not a sibling of the Joneses. He was looking to make an impression this camp. He did. He was going to make the team. And he's dealing with this injury for the next 2 to 4 weeks. Matt, let's start off with Gustafsson. Where are you at with this signing? Because I'm lost here.
I'm lost with you. I didn't see that one coming. I remember texting you last night, like, what's up with this? And we were both surprised by it. He had one good season with the Hawks. I think he put up 60 points.
Yes, sir.
He was trade bait that year. I think the Flames picked him up, and ever since then, he's kind of been bouncing around, not finding a home. Kind of like Dougie Hamilton, but he's a lot cheaper. But when you were talking about, four defensemen stepping up and switching positions, I just thought a big buff. Remember that?
Yeah.
We had so much depth that year, and put him on the wing with Kaner and Taves, and it was just cool to see him just pound Pronger away, just pound him. You know,
man.
And you know what? He got traded, and he went back to D, and he was a top five defenseman in points usually.
Stud.
That's how good he was. Yeah. So I'm not saying Gustafsson's going to be like Big Buff, but maybe they can move him around a little bit on the wing, or like you said, maybe he's just a power play quarterback, or maybe just an insurance policy for Bowman if one of the big guys get hurt.
It's pretty incredible, man, how Big Buff would just move people, you know. Like, he was just such a strong guy. I mean, he
big,
would just...
Big boy.
There, you know, there was a scuffle, and he would just grab guys, man, and they'd be sliding across smile. The ice, you know?
He'd have a smile on his face. He's like, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He was a great hockey player. We are going to talk about the matchup between the Avs. Game one, big one. Big, big, big one for the Blackhawks. Because the Avs are touted as this juggernaut team. Now, they lost Grubauer last season. This offseason. They lost Brandon Saad. And I think that these two moves, I think that they hurt them quite significantly. Because Grubauer was a Vezina candidate. He was a strength and goalie. Now, they're gonna need to put up some points to win games now. They're not going to be able to rely on their goaltender to, you know, to keep games tied or keep a lead late. So I'm not looking for the Avs to be as big of a team as they were last year, but I still think they will be strong. I think they'll be a really, really strong team in the Central. But you also have the Blues and the Blackhawks in the Centrals, and I think that the Blues may surprise a lot of people this year. I think they're going to be a tough team to play against, a surprise team. But and I will give them the dark horse title along with the Blackhawks. I think that the Blackhawks and the Blues are going to be ruining some people's nights. To be honest with you, both of them, and I think that they're both going to be battling each other all year.
The Blues scare me. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, Blues, Islanders, you know, these are a couple rough and tumble teams. But that being said, the Blackhawks have also been playing a bit more physical this preseason. Normally, they're playing with a lot of skill. This preseason, they're playing with some grit as well. Riley Stillman's been laying the body. Kyra's been laying the body. Gaudette's been laying the body. Jake McCabe straight up stood a guy up in two games ago. In his own zone. So the Hawks aren't going to be pushovers this year. So I'm really looking forward to getting this season underway. I'm making a prediction right now, 4-3 Blackhawks win tomorrow night. What about you, Matt?
I'm not sure about the prediction yet, but I will give us the edge in goaltending. Marc-Andre Fleury versus Darcy Kemper. I like Fleury 100% of the time.
Yeah, I do too.
The offense, I think the Hawks have a very underrated offense. I think a lot of people are overlooking them. The defense, I still think the Avs have one of the best, and Cale Makar, and they got some depth down there. You know, it could be a close game. There's going to be butterflies, I'm sure. Honestly, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Kemper because they let Grubauer go for their captain, and they didn't have money to give... for Grubauer because they gave it to Landeskog. So there's kind of a lot of pressure on him. He was in the desert for a long time, and there's really no expectations there. It's just go get a paycheck and, you know, just play hockey. It's a dream. But this team wants to win the cup. They have a player that's super hungry to win a cup. So he's got pressure on him this year, and hopefully he's up for it because this is kind of like their window's closing.
It is. And the desert, he means the Phoenix area, the hot Phoenix area. You know, it's really, really kind of a throw up for me because I personally would have stuck with the goalie and I would have let Landeskog go. Put the C.M. McKinnon, he's also got the pulse, obviously got the pulse of the team. And I would have kept Brandon Saad as well. I think that keeping Brandon Saad, you keep a Landeskog type of player. But then again, Landeskog is a 25 goal scorer with an elite player like Nathan McKinnon. You know, Saad can score 20, 25 goals with anybody.
And a proven playoff player.
Multiple times over, you know, and two-time cup winner. And Grubauer, a Vezina candidate. You know, I'm really surprised that they went this route. But if maybe Sakic sees something that we are not.
Well, Grubauer signed for $6 million, right? With the Kraken.
That's a lot of money, man.
That's a steal. For 4 years, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's nothing for a starting goalie.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the goalies now. Carey Price. I mean, look at Fleury. Fleury's making $7 million for one season. Left.
Right.
Price is making $10 million. I know he's on his leave, but he deserved that money. He was the Montreal Canadiens. He did. Vasilevsky's making about eight. Tuukka Rask was making seven.
$8 million for Vasilevsky's a steal.
Bobrovsky's making 10, and he's done nothing.
Brutal.
Except have good seasons, but never gets it done in the playoffs.
Right.
There's some elite goalies out there that are getting paid, but I mean, Grubauer is, he's proven he could play. He could be a starting goalie, but Kemper, we don't know yet. He's kind of had to share his net for a couple seasons with Ranta. I think he was with Minnesota before that. He was also sharing his net, I think, with Dubnyk. Dubnyk outplayed him. I think Dubnyk went on like a 20-game point streak or win streak.
I think that was about 4 years ago.
Then he ran into the Blackhawks and got smoked in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
But still, I mean, this is his chance, and he's got a really good supporting cast in front, but let's see if he can take the pressure, because there's a lot of it on him.
100%, and since we're talking about contracts, we could talk about Mika Zibanejad, who just got a $8.5 million contract for 8 years, which I think is an absolute steal of a contract, because he totally could have looked for a bridge deal to get a big payday in 3 years, and he didn't do that. He came in at $8.5 million, which is completely reasonable for your number one center, and I'll tell you what, he let the Rangers off easy there. I'm really, really, really happy with that contract for him.
I think the term they don't like, but it's not a big deal. He's going to be making third line money by the time he gets there.
Right.
You know, it gets to that time.
Right.
And he's a great player. And I think the boys from the 30 on Broadway were talking about him being one of the captains.
Right.
Or I think they were saying Jacob Trouba, but still, he's an awesome player, man. He had a couple hat tricks. I think he had a five goal game too, this season.
Wow.
Last season, I mean, and he's exciting to watch. He's kind of like it's kind of like Panarin. Panarin's obviously, he's more productive, but they're both like a dynamic, exciting player to watch.
Right, right. And speaking of the Rangers, apparently they're going to be running with multiple alternates this year. And you know what? I'm so over this this ego trip that a lot of these clubs have, saying, "Oh, we need to take our time in finding out a captain." You know what? No, you don't. You need to ask your players who is the captain here, guys. Let's talk about it. Who is the captain here? And you pick one, you put the C on his chest, and you get going. You know, a few years ago, Detroit did the same thing. They went all year without a captain, made it a big freaking deal, and they gave it to Dylan Larkin. Everybody knew that it was going to go to Dylan Larkin. Everybody
knew that when he was drafted.
Yeah, right when he was drafted. They knew that he was going to be the future leader, future captain of this team, and they should have just gave it to him. It was ridiculous.
They did for Stevie Y, and look what happened.
Right, exactly, and he learned how to lead, and he's a legend of the league, top 100.
Larkin will be a GM one day for the Red Wings after he's done building one in Dynasty in Tampa first.
Oh, okay, he's gonna go to Tampa first, build a cup winning team, actually build a cup winning Dynasty, and then he's gonna go to
and get no credit.
Yeah, and speaking of Detroit, they released Bobby Ryan today. Pretty unfortunate for him, because they said that he deserved to be on the team he was playing, but you know, he was just the odd man out, essentially. But I look for him to possibly get picked up by another team. Heck, if the Blackhawks are throwing money at Adam Gustafsson, why not Bobby Ryan? I mean, he could be a third line banger with some offensive upside potential. What do you think of Bobby Ryan, Matt?
You know what? When he was on the Ducks, I was a really big fan of him, because he's an American guy.
35 goal scorer.
Man, he was so good. You know what? I'd like to see him go home to where he started, because I don't think he ever wanted to leave the Ducks.
Mm.
But it'd be cool to see him with Ryan Getzlaf again. But someone should pick him up. He's gone through a lot in his career. I think he had some alcohol issues, but he's overcome them. And yeah, I'd like to see him get picked up by somebody. And you know what? I wouldn't mind if, like you said, we're throwing money to this forward playing defense. I'd rather just, why don't we just sign a forward that plays forward?
So. Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, something I wanted to talk to you about. What are your feelings about this, about the Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa situation continuing to drag out? You know, we have a player. I thought that he would be signed by now. He wants short term. The owner wants him to get long term because he's cheap. And they say the rumor is if he signs a short term bridge deal, he'll be gone after 2 years. What do you think is going on in Ottawa there where they can't get this kid signed?
I honestly think that you said it best. If his last name wasn't Tkachuk, this wouldn't even be a headline right now.
Yeah.
This would be like, wow, what is this guy who barely hits 30 or 20 goals demanding all this money for? Sure, he's very talented. He's skilled. Heck, I like the guy. I think he's going to be a great player, but what do you think he's demanding? Like $9 million for 3-4 years? Like, come on. We know your agent, your dad, your brother are saying sign short term because when this big money thing kicks in, you can cash in again. Come on. I mean, I don't blame him, but he's going to sit out for this. If he wants to be the face of the franchise, sign, dude, sign long term. Who cares? You got like something really good happening in Ottawa. They're building good pieces and he could be a part of it. He'd be the captain. I think he would be the captain.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, man, I know Matthew Tkachuk did it. I'm sure Keith did it in his career. But, yeah, they're just trying to get as much money as they can, I guess. I guess I would be doing the same thing, but I don't, you know, you're young. I mean, it's one thing. If I scored 50 goals in my rookie entry-level contract, okay, I'm going to demand money. Like, the bridge deal is gone. It's, like, extinct now, you know? Look at Brendan Hagel. He signed for $1 million, I think, for 3 years.
Yeah, 1.5.
Dude, are you kidding me?
He's going to get paid, man.
Watch him get 20 goals this year.
Yeah.
Watch him get 20 goals, and that would be the same as Brady Tkachuk. And the same as Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. I think he's using his last name to get more money. You know, I like all three of them. Keith Tkachuk was awesome. I liked him when he was with Phoenix, when he first started out with JR.
Yeah.
Matthew's been good, but he did the same thing. He demanded lots of money. And what did he score? 30, like once?
34 once, one time.
I mean, come on, guys. I mean, if you guys aren't putting 50 goal seasons up, 100 points, it's average. An average goal scorer is 25 to 30. The elites are scoring 40 and, you know, getting over 82 points.
Yeah.
These guys aren't doing that. They're exciting. If Brady was on the Blackhawks, where do you think he'd play? Top six, probably the sixth forward, I'd think.
Yeah, maybe.
That's it. He wouldn't be the number one center here.
He would probably play either next to Jonathan Taves or he would play on the third line.
But he wouldn't be the man. There'd be like six guys in front of him.
Yeah, there would be.
And he would luck out because, you know, he's got skill. There's no doubt about it. He's good. Yeah. He's a fan favorite there. But, man, it's kind of like Columbus, they just can't keep stars. They trade them away in Ottawa. It goes both ways. It's the owner and the players.
Right. Right. You know what? Matthew Tkachuk, I believe he scored 34 goals the year after he held out. So, I mean, 100%. I think that he's worth the money. But Brady hasn't shown it yet. He's shown that he could be a star because of his, you know, his outgoing personality. You know, the person that he is, his family, you know, that carries a lot of weight for his payday, his pay, to be honest with you.
And I give him 6 years for 2 years. Prove it.
$6 million for 2 years.
Prove it. Yep.
Well, to be honest, I think if you're going to do something like that, you'd have to give him seven.
Yeah, seven, that's fine too. Seven. That's to get fine. They have the money.
Right.
They can do that. Say, hey, you make it count. You put up 82 points, 85 points a year. You'll get your $9 million for 5 years, and then you can leave if you want.
Yeah, I think that he's looking for $8 or $8.5 million for 3 years, type of maybe even $9 million.
If I'm Brady, that's what I want. But if I'm the GM and the owner, I want him 8 for 8.
Yeah,
and I know he won't want that. Most players don't. I mean,
right?
Look, like Mika, we were just talking about him. He signed what, 8.5?
Yep.
He's another Ottawa guy. He started off in Ottawa, but look at it. Look, he produces.
Right.
This guy, he's a difference maker.
Yeah. Consistently, all the time he produces.
So, and they offered him $8 million, 8.5. I probably took him 3 seconds to make that decision.
Right. It really, it's incredible. So, you know, let's move on. I'm done talking about Brady Tkachuk and his contract woes, even though he's going to get paid this year.
He'll sit as long as it takes, I bet. So yeah. Could be a rough start for the Sens.
Yeah, I think it will be. So Giordano was named the first captain of the Kraken. I think everybody knew that was coming. He's a proven leader. He was a leader, captain in Calgary. He's captain in the Kraken, and congratulations to him. Making history over there in Seattle. And something to actually to take into consideration here is that I think that, you know, now that the Kraken are a team, you know, we've got hockey all across the United States now, which is pretty interesting. You know, it's not just in these favorite hubs anymore. I mean, it's all the way in the Northwest, you know, Pacific area, in sunny California, in Texas, Arizona, you know, Minnesota, all the way through the United States, actually Florida and Tampa, which people thought that hockey was going to die, are very competitive. Yeah, it took them about 25 to 30 years to for that to happen, minus the Tampa, who had some short success at the beginning of the 2000s era. But it's taken a long time for that to happen. And you know what? You got some fan bases down there in Florida and in the Tampa area that are very supportive of their team, and all up the East Coast, you know, there's hockey. And in Canada, I think Gary Bettman's dream for what the NHL could be is happening right now. And I think this year that we're going into, this season, is going to be a big season for hockey. TNT, ESPN, looking at their production, it looks great, looks professional. NBC Sports wasn't bad. But you know what? It looked old. It looked tired. You know, the cursive writing, you know, isn't as eye-catching anymore. You know, go look at what they're doing on ESPN and TNT, and it's pretty nice. Not to mention the production quality of watching the games. Crystal clear. So I'm really looking forward to watching some hockey on there. As a matter of fact, the Blackhawks are on TNT tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Central.
Yeah, I like the panels. I like with the Gretzky, Rick Tocchet thing they're going to do. Right. I think that's awesome. That's like the NBA. And I don't watch the NBA, but Charles Barkley is very entertaining, and I hope it's something like that, because that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about hockey players, is that it's getting those personalities to come out. I believe that Paul Bissonnette is going to be on TNT, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's actually with Gretzky, right?
Yeah, they might be putting him in there to add some flair to the panel, which I think would work out well.
And you got Torts on ESPN. This is going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I was watching some ESPN Plus coverage, and it was awesome, to be honest with you. So moving on, John Cooper signs a 3-year extension in Tampa, which is a non-news story because we knew that was going to happen. An excellent coach, you know, just a guy that you want to play for type of coach. And I'm really happy that he did that. He keeps the team competitive. And let's see where Tampa is in the next 3 years. Some people think that they're going to repeat. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a little bit too much. They lost some key players. But we'll see where they end up. Where are you at with Tampa, man, and John Cooper?
Yeah, my dad's a snowbird out there, and when I go out to see him, I'm always watching Tampa games, and the city loves the Bolts, man. They got billboards everywhere, and it's just cool to see. It, like you said, in Florida, it's good to see the game growing there. But Cooper, yeah, man, he's the ultimate player's coach, and I'm happy for the guy. He kind of came out of nowhere, and now he's a 2-time Stanley Cup champion. But I think this year it's going to be very tough for them, because these games that they've played, it's going to start, you know, catching up to some of these guys, especially like Stamkos. And I know Kucherov had pretty much the whole season off, and he jumped in late in the playoffs, but he should be ready, charged up, ready to go. But it's still a lot of hockey for most of these guys. But I think Florida, the Panthers, probably can take that division.
I'm thinking that Florida might be more to deal with this year than what people want them to be. With a coach like Coach Q, you know, I think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this season. And they're not going to be a pushover and maybe make it past the second round in the playoffs. So moving on, Austin Matthews is out 3 games. I was watching some video of him about a week ago, sniping shots, even though that he's recovering from wrist surgery. Looks like he's going to be out a couple games, but I don't think that's going to slow him down any, to be honest with you. I think he's going to come in heavy, looking to score some goals and push and push Toronto to the next level. How do you see Toronto moving forward this season, especially after, you know, this huge debacle that turned out to be their playoffs this past season?
Yeah, I think they're going to be really good in the season. The playoffs, it's just a different game. I think it's so like in their heads already. Yeah. Like the media is so relentless to these guys. Like, oh yeah, you guys can get like 30 wins in a row, but you go 0-4 in the playoffs. It's like, come on. Let these, you guys make it worse on these guys, the media. Even the fans, they're just relentless on Twitter and all the social media. It's like you're a Leafs fan, but like there's just so much hate towards these guys. I mean, I want them to do good. Austin Matthews is going to be one of the best American goal scorers ever, and how can you not root for a guy like that? And Mitch Marner's a little Patrick Kane right now. He's a playmaker. And the goaltender Campbell, I heard he's one of the most likable guys in the NHL. Just a good dude. And I'm rooting for him too, because he's finally got his starting position that he earned last year, and he's going to, hopefully he can get these guys a win. Cause it's been like, what? It's gotta be close to 60 years with no cup. That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably about 65. That's
Cubs like years. We gotta,
well, not anymore. That was 108 years. So they still got another, well, another the way they're 50 going, to the, go. Well, cool, man. I'm really excited. Tomorrow's the start of the season. We recorded this on Monday night, so when you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, you'll know that, actually, I'll just say it, today is the start of the season for everybody. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter, hit subscribe in the podcast app if you haven't subscribed already. We would really, really appreciate it. We've got a lot more content coming for everybody coming this year. Little bit of a post-game show that we're going to be doing on Twitter, and stay tuned. So we got more to give you, more content. But that's all that we got for you tonight. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.